Selling Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com. In the sports world, fans get their insight from their favorite radio show, Calvin and Campbell.
I listen to public radio.
There's Elijah Campbell, an easygoing sports trivia king.
That's a clean burning hell, I tell you what.
And Calvin Smith, the analytics mastermind.
Who ate all the pecan sandies?
This is their show.
I'm ready!
Calvin and Campbell
on ESPN.
1025 The Game.
You heard it. This is Calvin and Campbell on ESPN. 1025 The Game. I am Calvin Smith, the aforementioned, quote, analytics mastermind. He, to my right, is Elijah Campbell, the easygoing sports trivia king.
King.
Elijah, how are we on a Saturday morning after a long week here in Nashville? A lot has happened since we last...
Been a very long week.
...hit the microphones. You know, the tornado obviously is how we're going to start off this show because we have not addressed it since we were last on air. And I just wanted to say that in spite of what happened in this city, I'm so proud to live in Nashville because of how we as a city, we as a state have responded.
Oh, yeah. And...
Yes,
and we
exactly.
get the round of applause here, as we should, as a city. And the thing is, like, it doesn't surprise me at all. Like, we did this whenever the flood happened in 2010. The city came together and really rallied around each other. It did the same thing in 98 whenever we experienced a similar situation with tornadoes. And that's, you know, the thing that people say about Southern hospitality is real. You know,
absolutely.
there's a reason that we have the nickname the Volunteer State. There's a reason that we have this reputation of being so hospitable and being there for each other whenever times get rough. And I think you're seeing a really good example of that right now. And honestly, people are like in the midst of like the worst time of their lives, like homes flattened, destroyed, lives lost, especially over in Putnam County too, where they lost a ton of people. And that's, and the response over there too. And it's not just like Nashville. Like I said, it's Wilson County, Putnam County. Like, the effort that has gone into not only rebuilding these areas, but finding people who are lost. I mean, Putnam County had a list of, like, 88 names of people who were not accounted for. There was a church set up in Cookeville where I actually used to go.
You were born and raised in Cookeville.
Basically, Cookeville. Yeah. I spent my high school years there and several post-high school years in Cookeville. Well, and that's where, you know, I made a majority of my friends. Like, that's... I still had friends that lived there and had to make sure a lot of them were okay. And I still obviously have a lot of ties to the area, not as much as I used to, but my mom still lives there. Thankfully, she wasn't in town. She was out of town on a work trip. And where we lived was kind of on the other side of town from where all the tornadoes happened and kind of all the wreckage. But they had this church that we used to go to when I was like in the eighth grade in high school was set up as pretty much like a makeshift morgue. So people can come by and identify bodies, while people are being looked for and being trying to account for everybody that was involved in the tornado. So that's how serious it got, is that we had to make a church a place to come identify bodies because so many people were displaced and moved around because of that. And that list got up. I want to say it got up to 88. And thankfully, the effort that we saw this week with people coming by and helping knock that number down to like 3 or 4 in a day.
And then I saw, you know, by the last couple of days, every person had been accounted for on that list, right?
Right. Yeah.
And I think what impresses me a lot too is in the face of all of this, you know, tragedy here in the city, and then in the national headlines, the coronavirus is sweeping the nation and the headlines about how it's coming for everybody and it completely shut down China and everything. Well, what's an easy way for a pandemic to spread? People handing out water bottles to each other, shaking hands across East Nashville all the time. But that didn't slow so many people down from helping and going, picking up things and having human-to-human contact.
Didn't slow anyone down.
Is it a risk? Yes. But at the same time, it doesn't matter because I feel like the small risk of the coronavirus in this area, very well worth the opportunity to go help.
Exactly, and help rebuild a city that we are, or a community even. I don't even want to say city. Like, it's more of a community. Like, a city is, is buildings and structures and things to do. The community is the people that make up that city and what make it what it is. And that's why Nashville actually is a really special place. And I'd like to just give a shout out to all the, especially all the TV stations. All the local TV stations that gave people adequate warning about what was happening. That saved a ton of lives. Michael Pope here at the station overnight.
Our overnight guy. Midnight to 5 a.m. every weeknight.
Yeah, that is a grinded out shift. And Michael was quick on the trigger and switched us over to our Fox 17 weather coverage that we are allowed to do whenever, you know, it hits the fan and weather starts getting pretty bad. And Pope was quick to get on that, and that probably saved some people's lives as well. I mean, the death toll was high, and it's depressingly high. But it could have been so much higher if it wasn't for the work of a lot of people in this area on TV and on radio to help adequately prepare people for what was coming so they could take proper action.
So a lot of other things happened in Nashville this week. We're very thankful for how hard a lot of people in Nashville worked for the tornadoes. We're very sad for those who were lost. But in the sports world, these Tom Brady rumors are not going away.
They're amplifying.
At all, Elijah. And you know what? Last week.
Amplifying. It's crazy.
Last week, I said, I think I'm starting to believe. I think I'm starting to believe that Tom Brady's coming to Nashville. And I think I'm to the point where I'm going to say it. I think Tom Brady will be a Tennessee Titan next season. I'm getting to that point.
What? You honestly think I about spit out my coffee. You actually you are now at the point this week has convinced you that this is what is going to happen.
At this point, I think it's more likely than not. Do I think it's set in stone? No. But does that mean I'm more than 51% sure it's going to happen? Yes.
Wow. All right. You have passed the 50% threshold.
Everybody you talk to, everybody who you listen to a radio interview or a TV interview or an ESPN hit with who talks about Tom Brady, they say, you know, I think it's more likely than not that he won't be a Patriot next season. I don't see him returning to New England. You hear the Jeff Darlington report. You hear reports from people up in the New England area. Then it surfaces on Twitter that Mike Vrabel is FaceTiming Julian Edelman and Tom Brady.
He tried to downplay that a lot.
And you know
what? He definitely did.
They definitely have to downplay it a lot. But I see that. I know their relationship with Brady and Vrabel. I know that Nashville is a beautiful place to live with a very nice neighborhoods that Tom Brady and Giselle could move into. There are a lot of great schools down the road that they've been rumored to be visiting.
Oh, like NBA? Yeah, they were rumored. That not only just rumored, but poorly photoshopped photos have taken place to convince us that they were touring.
Everything I hear about this, somehow it has convinced me to the point that Tom Brady is likely More likely than not, leaving New England, and I think Nashville could be the top destination, and I would not be surprised at all. I'm to the point where I think Tom Brady's coming to Nashville.
Wow. So you are at that point.
To the point where I certainly wouldn't be surprised, to say the least.
Part of me would still be surprised. I mean, yeah, regardless of, even though it all makes sense, every single bit of Tom Brady, A, leaving making sense, and then B, coming to a place where he's got a ton of talent around him also makes sense. A team that just went to the AFC title game for Tom Brady makes a lot of sense.
Now, if they lose the right tackle, Jack Conklin, which it's starting to look like they might.
Those rumors are coming out, too.
Tom Brady will not be happy to not have a dynamite right tackle. Wherever Tom Brady goes, he's going to have an offensive line.
He'll need it because it's not like Brady's a spring chicken. This guy's going to be, 43 during the season?
Yes.
And he's never been accused of being a speedster. I mean, he's not beating anyone in a foot race. I mean, let's not kid ourselves. I mean, just go back in the spirit of the combine. Go back and look at his 40. Just don't even look at the time. I mean, watch him run.
I think I could roll out and beat him in a race right now.
Rich Eisen probably could. Rich Eisen runs the 40 every year, and I wouldn't be surprised if Rich Eisen clocks a faster 40. So, Tom Brady's not scrambling out of the pocket anytime soon, so you're going to have to get someone who can contain pressure and not let it get to Tom Brady, because he's going to be just getting out of trouble very easily. So maybe with Jack Conklin, with the rumors of maybe the Jets, maybe the Giants, there are some names that are that have swirled out there in the Twitter sphere.
He's going to get paid.
In the rumor world.
The value of a right tackle on the open market is high, especially a good one like Jack Conklin.
Especially one that's
been
all pro.
Despite the injury concerns, exactly.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. You take the injury concerns because he's played healthy this year.
Yes.
I mean, the guy played a full healthy season. And you're able to go ahead and roll the dice on that because you know what he's capable of doing.
You know, I'll go ahead and say this. I think if the Titans lose Jack Conklin, I think we will not talk about enough how much of a loss that will be for the offense because one of Derrick Henry's best running spots was off the right end, right behind his right tackle.
Yeah,
Jack Conklin was a mauler in run blocking. I don't think it'll get talked about enough how important Jack Conklin is to this offensive line, especially how important he was last season to a lot of Derrick Henry's running success.
Yeah.
Because that guy could run block, and that's what he did best.
And that not only like his ability as a run blocker would also make Tom Brady comfortable with coming to a place where they're handing the ball off 30 times in a game because they're good run blockers. The pressure is off Brady to have to throw the ball all over the place and tear teams up with his arm if he can defer to a running back. If he can defer to a running back that runs behind an offensive line that had the season that they just had, that makes it a little more appealing for Tom Brady to come here. Without Conklin, that might make things a little interesting, but it would still, like, even though like the move itself makes a ton of sense for Tom Brady to not only dip, but to come to Nashville and play for the Titans, it makes a ton of sense. It would still surprise me because, A, you're looking at Tom Brady in another uniform.
Yes, that would take just adjustment to the eyes. Like, I would have to, like, put my glasses on and kind of, like, adjust them.
Like, we're talking Michael Jordan to the Wizards level weirdness.
Yes, absolutely.
I mean, and maybe probably amplified. Because, like, Michael Jordan just came out of retirement for the second time out of boredom, basically.
Yeah.
And missed the attention. Tom Brady is never one dying for attention. I mean, this would be a move that we would have never seen coming several years ago because they still, to this day, keep winning.
And while Brady is declining...
Yes.
You're not expecting Tom Brady to come out next season and just be completely inept. Is he going to be league average? Okay, maybe.
Yeah.
Completely inept? No, but Elijah, I saw something on the interwebs.
Oh, this is where you find anything that is worth noting or talking about is the interwebs.
The draftnetwork.com, very good NFL draft website, and it's mock draft season.
Oh, it is.
It is that time of year. And
ideal mock draft season.
Somebody, Carter Donick, not related to our good friend Willie Donick, of Darren Donick and Chase.
I was getting ready to say that name. The last name obviously sounds a little familiar to us.
Carter Donick of the Draft Network put together a mock draft that put the Titans in a very interesting situation, one that I don't think is impossible, but they did some interesting stuff, and I think we have to get into it. We'll get into who the Titans have in this mock draft coming up next here on Calvin and Campbell on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
I've been down so lonely, look like up to me.
Captain Kirk with the Drake.
Captain, you're playing a little drizzy on a Saturday.
Ugh.
I didn't know you had that in your arsenal, Captain. Hey, quick birthday shout out. Happy late birthday to our producer, Captain Kirk, the one and only behind the glass.
Thank you.
The most diverse producer at this studio. After this, I am so impressed with this music choice by Captain Kurt. Wow. You deserve to give yourself a round of applause.
100%. You owe
applause.
Yourself.
I think I have some of that back here.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, see, there you go.
Patting myself.
You. That's for you.
That's a great patting yourself on the back moment right there. Captain Kurt turning 35 on March 3rd.
Yes. Again.
So this is Calvin and Campbell on ESPN 102.5 The Game. I'm Calvin Smith. He's Elijah Campbell. We're streaming all around the world on the Game Nashville app. Don't you forget it. You can listen online wherever you are, whenever you want. And you can find our podcast. Just search Calvin and Campbell, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you find your podcast. You can find this silly show where I declared last segment, I think Tom Brady's coming to Nashville, and I am unashamed.
He's thinking about
it. Is anybody in the city buying it? I don't really think so, but I am right here, right now.
I don't know. I actually think
I'm jumping on the
city,
ship.
I think people in the city are, too. 100%.
Really?
Darren McFarlane is going to die on the hill that Tom Brady is coming here.
Really?
I think he is convinced.
So me and Darren are prepared to lead this charge.
Yeah. Oh, I think Darren is 100% sold. And he said it on these airways before that he's got a hunch. That he says there's a lot of smoke. And obviously there is.
Where there's smoke, there is fire.
And Darren feels an inferno. I don't want to speak for him, but he is adamant about it. I mean, he is sensing not only just like a small fire or brush fire. We're talking an inferno. We're talking like General Sherman, scorched earth. Like that.
My
that
favorite
is,
one is the General Sherman in Atlanta joke.
Oh, every time. If you can make a General Sherman reference, yeah, then always do it, especially when relating it to sports.
So let's say, hypothetically, that Tom Brady is the quarterback here. You probably only have him for 1 or 2 years, right?
Oh, there's no way there's two. You think that guy's right? Going out there at the age of 45?
Yeah, probably not. You're right.
That man is one hit away from just hanging it up completely at that point.
Ryan Tannehill probably isn't the long-term option either. You probably sign him to a contract where you're looking at 2 to 3 years of guaranteed money, and then after that you can cut him. So maybe the Titans in the draft, right guy comes around where they're picking, they pick a quarterback. Maybe a development project. Or, as I teased before the last break,
Mock draft season.
And mock drafts with trade projections. So in this draft, from Carter Donick of the Draft Network, not related to Willie Donick, pick one, Joe Burrow, Bengals. We all see it coming. Despite Joe Burrow's tiny hands that are the same size as mine, he still gets picked number one. Number two, Chase Young. Three, Dolphins trade up, get Tua Tagovailoa. Four, the Giants pick offensive tackle Tristan Wirfs. At five, the Lions, who traded with the Dolphins, get Jeffrey Okuda. At six, the Chargers get Mekhi Becton, offensive tackle Louisville. And at number seven, the Tennessee Titans trade up with the Carolina Panthers. Their 29th, 61st, and then first round and third round selections next year for the seventh pick in the draft.
This is detailed.
And in this mock draft scenario, the Tennessee Titans go and pick Justin Herbert.
Oh, my God.
Quarterback.
Oh, my God.
Out of Oregon.
Talk about shooting from the hip on this mock draft.
Shooting
my
from
God.
The hip is an understatement that the Titans go and pick Justin Herbert.
That is.
Is this realistic in any way? What remote possibility do you even give this of the Titans in general? It doesn't even have to be Herbert. It doesn't even have to be for the seventh pick that the Titans trade up a significant amount of draft capital to go pick their quarterback of the future, be it Jordan Love or Justin Herbert or someone of that ilk.
I don't think it's a 0% chance. It'd be foolish to kind of think that. I think it might be a 10.
10% chance?
Well, yeah, because think about it.
I mean, I think that's pretty good. And I think you give me a 10% chance that the Titans are going to go do something wacky and go pick a quarterback in the top 15.
It makes our jobs like a lot of fun. I mean, it really does. If you're a
Titans
fan.
Calvin and Campbell is must-listen in radio because that is all we will talk about, I promise.
Oh, we will thump that home all day long. The thing about that, it's not like out of the realm of possibility because of this. If the Titans really are putting all their eggs in the Tom Brady basket, if there is as much fire to the smoke we are seeing with the Jeff Darlington reports, the Boston Herald reports. We had Karen Gregian on from the Boston Herald, the woman who reported on the phone call between Tom Brady and Bill Belichick, and apparently it not going well. When we asked her yesterday what percentage she says Tom Brady leaves, she goes, it's probably over 50. So, like, there's a lot. Like we mentioned in the last segment, there's a lot of smoke right now, and there's probably some fire to it. However, that's not a guarantee that even if he does leave, he does come to Nashville. There are other places that suit Tom well. The Chargers are a great place for Tom.
L.A., that's a beautiful part of the country.
It is. And if Mike Mayock can get his stuff together and make the Raiders look somewhat appealing.
They have 100 picks in this draft.
I mean, that might be able to get Tom Brady's attention. The Tampa Buccaneers, only because he get to throw to two of the best receivers, two top 10 guys in the league right now.
Yeah.
That would be appealing. But so say the Titans whiff on that. They put all their eggs in the Tom Brady basket. Tom's like, sorry, Mike. I know we're boys, but like L.A. is L.A. And he splits.
I don't care if I'm not playing in front of any fans. Fans will come to see me.
Oh, they will fill out that
30,000 seat stadium.
That janky soccer stadium. Yeah, that has higher attendance for, is it LAFC that plays there or LA Galaxy?
I don't think it's the Galaxy. I don't know.
I think it might be LAFC.
Okay.
But like, I guarantee you their attendance is probably better than the Chargers, at least in terms of just like Chargers fans, because like, I don't know. I'm not convinced they have fans. But Tom Brady can go make that move. And then by punting on signing Ryan Tannehill or franchise tagging him, Ryan Tannehill can go elsewhere. Someone like Indy or Tampa, Oakland, Chicago.
I could see Chicago going
in. I could see Chicago. And they're going to do to Mitch Trubisky what the Titans did to Marcus Mariota and put a little pressure out there and say, if you don't get this done, we have a guy who just took this team to the AFC title game. That can happen as well. So if the Tom Brady domino falls in a way that you don't expect it to, it's going to push over another domino of Ryan Tannehill possibly not returning, depending on the timeline. So at that point in time, if it's draft time and you've missed out on quarterbacks 1 and 2, you don't want to re-sign Marcus Mariota. By that point, he's probably gone too and has signed a deal to be a backup somewhere.
He could be in Chicago.
He could be in Chicago or New England. I mean, you could literally like blindfold yourself, have a map of the NFL on your wall and throw a dart there, and whatever it lands, it's a possibility of where Marcus Mariota can go and be a backup somewhere. So at that point, your only option would be to draft a quarterback. And if in this draft right now, if you want your guy, like Joe Burrow's obviously really good. Tua's obviously a guy that teams tank for. Justin Herbert might have been the first overall pick last year.
I can't believe he didn't come out.
If he didn't declare, yeah, if he would have declared for the draft, he probably would have been number one over Kyler Murray. So Justin Herbert is believed to be one of those types of guys amongst NFL circles. I have my doubts. I like Justin Herbert, have my doubts, but
there is a rocket in that arm, and the potential
and he's 6'6".
Is there.
He's
and
big.
A lot of people are going to see that body and that arm and know the upside that is possibly there, especially when you see the success of a passer who came out of a, we'll call it non-traditional offense, not NFL-style offense,
exactly,
in Patrick Mahomes, who has an absolute rocket on his arm as well, and the success he's had. The difference is Andy Reid and that offense is in Kansas City that was able to develop Patrick Mahomes, which I'm not sure gets enough run.
Yeah.
For how much success Patrick Mahomes has had versus what's here in Tennessee, and I think that's completely different and isn't as conducive to growing a quarterback as we've seen with quarterback success in this city.
Yeah.
Before Ryan Tannehill.
And like when it comes to the guys that you want to draft to replace a Ryan Tannehill or what you almost had in Tom Brady, like you're still in a mode to go for it. So you need to get you a quarterback that's going to be able to at least be competent enough right away and be able to help you win games right away. And outside of those three guys, I really don't see it happening anywhere else. I don't think Jordan Love's that guy.
Jordan Love, if you draft him, he is a project.
He's a project.
Not to compare Herbert or Jordan Love to Patrick Mahomes. That's not what I'm trying to do here. But it's just that those, especially Jordan Love, needs that development time, that curve where he is not looked at as the guy right now, absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
And with Jacob Eason, too, another rocket arm, big, tall guy who's got all of the potential in the world exploding out of his body.
There's going to need some tweaking done with them. Jordan Love threw 17 picks in the Mountain West Conference last year. He didn't necessarily play a murderer's row of defense, and he didn't necessarily make a lot of good decisions, and that's how you get 17 interceptions in, what, 12 games, 13 games? He's definitely a project, and the Titans can't afford to waste time on a project. It's win-now mode. So the only way to get that would be by trading up into the top 10, which is what leads me to believe that mock draft by not Willie Donick,
was it Carter Donick?
Carter Donick.
Carter Donick. Not even spelled the same.
Not even spelled the same. So, yeah, we'll drop that comparison. But leads me to believe that Carter Donick's mock draft, is it absolutely insane? I think he's still shooting from the hip, because anytime you're mock drafting trades, you're shooting from the hip.
Oh, yeah.
But that's not out of the realm of possibility.
It's not
the craziest thing. What makes that intriguing.
And I think, looking at it from where I sit right now, would not absolutely hate the concept from an objective perspective of the Titans making that move for the quarterback of the future if they believe Justin Herbert is the guy. If they believe quarterback X, Y, or Z, whoever it may be, I think Herbert is the one that makes the most sense, because that's the one you have to put the most draft capital forward to go get. But if you believe in the quarterback you're drafting, there's nothing more valuable in sports than having a franchise quarterback. You go get who you think should be the guy. The Bears regardless. Thought it was Mitch Trubisky, and if you're wrong, you just have to live with it because Ooh. That's how dependent this sport is on a quarterback.
And they'll be remembered
for that.
That's
the name of the game.
They'll be remembered for being wrong for that forever.
But guess
forever.
What?
Forever.
But guess what? Fortune favors the bold. So if you think yep. the guy's there, go get him. And if he's not there, if you aren't completely sold, do not do it. That's all I have to say on going up and trading up for a quarterback. You're either all in or you are all out.
Yeah, it does favor the bold. However, the boldness gets a little more highlighted when it's fueled by stupidity.
Yes, and hopefully.
Gambling on Mitch Trubisky's sample size was yes. is where I will insinuate the stupidity lie.
Yes, and I know I was not... Honestly, Mitch Trubisky's still kind of a weird pick, but we're not here to discuss that. We have to go to a break here on Calvin and Campbell. Coming up next, 9:30 every week, Calvin and Campbell, Sports Attorneys at Law. We come out here with the Law and Order sounder, and we bring up the hottest topic in Nashville sports this week, prosecution, defense, courtroom style, here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. That's coming up next with the topic, Tom Brady or Ryan Tannehill, right here. On ESPN, 102.5 The Game. Lawyers in Love, Calvin and Campbell, ESPN, 102.5 The Game. I'm Calvin Smith. He is Elijah Campbell here on ESPN, 102.5 The Game, and it's 9:30. So that means it's time to step into our courtroom where we bring on the hottest topic in Nashville sports. We're doing this for 2 weeks in a row now. Tom Brady or Ryan Tannehill. And actually, since last week, Elijah and I's opinions on this topic have flipped back and forth. Last week, I stood by Tom Brady. I said, if you have the chance to go get Tom Brady, you go get Tom Brady. But in the last week, I've had time to sit back and think, okay, well... Mm-hmm. You know what? What the Titans did with Ryan Tannehill, pretty impressive. I don't
the
think
most impressive.
Now I kind of don't think you can walk away from that. Even though it's going to take so much money, and with the Jack Conklin news coming out, the Jack Conklin news is what switched me to the other side. Without that very talented right tackle you had in Jack Conklin, without that cornerstone on the right side of the offensive line, you need a quarterback who can move around like Ryan Tannehill can. I will start Calvin and Campbell by coming out, flip-flopping from last week and say Ryan Tannehill should be the quarterback of the Tennessee Titans next year and that John Robinson should open up the checkbook to make sure Ryan Tannehill is back in the two-tone blue next season.
That is interesting. And a lot of this has to do with what happens with Conklin. So if we're assuming that Conklin's gone...
Which I personally think he's gone.
Yeah, and we've seen reports where the NFL Combine, the home of the Underwear Olympics, and the NFL's favorite tampering hotspot, that's where the news where Conklin might be looking at a place like the New York Jets or anywhere else that came out then.
The Jets are willing to spend money.
Jets are willing to spend it. Lord knows they are, and they spend a lot of it on that guy that they hand the ball to named Le'Veon Bell. He makes a lot of money. What helped Derrick Henry a lot? Jack Conklin, that offensive line. Jack Conklin could do wonders for Le'Veon Bell. Wonders. So there, Jack Conklin going to be a New York Jet is obviously something that is incredibly possible. Some could even say likely. Derrick Henry being signed to a lot of money. Big money here in Nashville. Very possible. Some would say likely. I would say likely too.
I think Derrick Henry will also... be a Tennessee Titan next year for something in the range of $14 or $15 million a year.
It's hard to go against Ryan Tannehill if Conklin's not there. And personally, I think I would still go Tannehill too, but there's a case to be made for Tom Brady. And it's kind of the same stuff that we went over last week. There's not a learning curve with Tom Brady, so this quarterback adjustment wouldn't be like drafting a quarterback or taking... I don't know, Jameis Winston, for example. It's not going to happen. I'm not saying it's happening or anything or that's even a possibility, but like a free agent quarterback can't just come in here and learn the offense the way Tom Brady can. Tom Brady's seen a lot of offenses. When you're 44 in the NFL, you won 6 Super Bowls and you've played in 3 more, you've played a lot of football. You've scouted a lot of football. If you've played for Bill Belichick the last 2 decades, You've studied and watched a lot of football. I can almost promise you Tom Brady knows the offense as good as anyone in the Titans offense knows it. I can almost promise you he does. With his relationship with Mike Vrabel, I can almost assure you that man knows the Titans offense through and through. So if you're going to be able to make a change, and Tom Brady doesn't require a lot of money. That's the thing, too, with Tom Brady. He's not requiring a ton of money. He never has. He's never been the highest paid quarterback in the NFL because he knows that money can go elsewhere.
And Tom Brady's got plenty better. Of money. I mean, Tom Brady's about winning.
Yeah, I mean, he's not living in a box or anything. This guy, like, he's got it made.
He's not the breadwinner of the household.
Exactly. That's the funny thing, because that's true, you know? Giselle makes a lot of money.
And good for you, Giselle. Go get it.
Tom Brady has an Uggs endorsement. He makes some money from that, too. Like, it's not
he
just...
has his own brand that's probably bringing in more.
Exactly. Then his NFL salary. His NFL salary really is irrelevant. You might even be – you're probably going to get Tom Brady cheaper than Ryan Tannehill. So Tom Brady would be –
I mean, you might get a $5, $6, $10 million discount on Tom Brady compared
exactly.
to Tannehill.
Exactly. Exactly. And that alone should be a case for Tom Brady. Like, yeah, Tom Brady's not prime Tom Brady. He's not what he was when he was throwing 50 touchdowns in a season to Randy Moss. He's not that. And I get it. You know, I totally understand that. But if you can get him at a discount – then you're able to pay other guys. Shoot, you can throw that money to Jack Conklin. And then the situation we're talking about becomes a little more realistic.
But then you have the Kevin Byard contract, the Taylor Lewan contract. I think the Kenny Vaccaro contract was not cheap, even though it wasn't.
It's not cheap. And they're not good long-term. None of these are good long-term.
Well, yeah, and the good thing about the NFL from a GM's perspective is usually you can play the funny money and get out of them when you need to. But Kevin Byard, Taylor Lewan, Kenny Vaccaro, Malcolm Butler, Jack Conklin, then if they sign him, Derrick Henry's going to get money. Man, that's a lot of contracts on the books.
Would they be able to shed Malcolm Butler this year?
I believe, well, this year it would be like $12 million. Next year, if I'm not, these are numbers off the top of my head. I can check them in the break. Malcolm Butler, this year I think it would be $12 million against the cap, and next year I think it would be $9 million or something like that. Mm. I know there's a pretty significant drop-off from this year to next year, enough to where you can look at it and make a case for it. I don't think cutting Malcolm Butler this year is a move that's very advantageous for you financially. Malcolm Butler is going to be a corner for the Titans next year. I'm pretty confident in that.
Yeah.
And then Logan Ryan, someone who also they're talking about, there's a lot of talks about re-signing. I'm not sure if he's going to be back.
Yeah, just probably not.
Given the position and some
and
decline.
If you sign Jack Conklin to a lot of money, like you said, they are flirting with some salary cap issues. But the whole point of even signing Tom Brady and having this discussion is that you are in win-now mode. It is time to take all those chips and put them to the center of the poker table and say, we are going for it. And there is no better way to go for it right now than a quarterback who wants to go for it right now in Tom Brady, who has a little left in the tank, enough left in the tank to make one last run, who is motivated to make one last run and might be willing to come on a discount. So you're able to bring back guys and be more advantageous in terms of your salary cap situation. I think that alone would be a case for Tom Brady. Not even, and that's before even looking at numbers and comparing the production between Tannehill and Brady. If you're able to surround Tom, Tom can produce. I think that alone should be the biggest argument towards Tom, wouldn't you think?
Yes, for sure. I just really struggle. Because this week when I flip-flopped back and forth, because last week I was sitting in your shoes and I was making the case that Tom Brady's the guy. But as I look at it right now, how can one step away from what Ryan Tannehill did? And I am the king of going on Morning Drive, coming on this show, and beating the table, saying, Titans fans, enjoy this while you can, because Ryan Tannehill is going to regress soon. He was playing at one of the most efficient clips in the NFL. Anybody crediting that to Derrick Henry? Chill out, okay? Ryan Tannehill played incredibly well on his own. I'm not even going to get into the Derrick Henry thing right now. I have the energy for it, but that's not what we're talking about.
We only have 2 hours in this radio show.
I'm sorry. Ryan Tannehill played at one of the most efficient clips last season. He's going to regress. Even though I say that, how can you look at what he did last year and step away and say, you know what? But we're just going to completely go away from the guy who led us to the AFC Championship game and completely flipped our season around. He will still be good enough and provide enough of versatility for you as a runner, as an athlete, and as a quarterback.
Yeah, you played receiver in college.
If you didn't know. As an accurate quarterback who can hit the throws that need to be made down in and down out while providing that athleticism, I think that is what gives him the edge over Tom Brady, in my mind, combined with everything that they had working last season.
My thing is, there almost isn't a difference in my mind between the two guys when Tannehill eventually regresses. Miami Tannehill, I thought, was one of the most overrated quarterbacks in the NFL. He had that moniker of being overrated. I mean, there was a reason that Miami was willing to pay the Titans to take him.
Yeah, well, that and they were tanking.
They
didn't even do that very well.
Yeah, they didn't. No, yeah, part of the whole tanking thing requires not winning games, and Brian Flores is like, you know what?
I'm actually going to be a very good coach.
I'm going to be a great coach right now and inspire my guys to win games.
Despite having the worst roster in the NFL. The Giants are doing better at tanking, and they're trying to win.
They're trying to win. Yeah, Dave Gettleman is trying to win, and they're doing a better job of tanking on accident, which is just... Oh, that's my favorite parts of professional sports and tanking. But my thing with Tannehill is, I think when he regresses, which we have totally acknowledged, we've accepted the fact that that's going to happen.
We are beating that table harder than anybody else. So if next season Tannehill does come out and is disappointing, mm-hmm. nobody who listens to what we've said on this show can say they didn't see it coming.
Or should be surprised.
We are the level-headed ones here.
But is Ryan Tannehill at his average on a normal day even better than a 44-year-old Tom Brady? I don't know. There is the advantage of being able to roll out, but if you're able to get Tom on a discount, you can invest in that offensive lineman to keep the continuity that they had right now. Because this offensive line in the last 6 weeks of the year was elite. During the playoffs, elite. They were moving grown men around like chess pieces on a chessboard, and it was beautiful.
It really was.
Because then, overpaying for Derrick Henry wouldn't kill you as much because you still have that offensive line that is able to help create the holes for Derrick Henry that they did. And you can still get that, barring Derrick Henry staying healthy. Tom Brady, him staying healthy. There's a higher chance of him staying healthy because you're able to protect him with this offensive line unit. That is able to mask some of his lack of mobility because then you're able to play towards his strength.
Coming up later today on 102.5, the game. Pre-game coverage for Predators at Stars at noon. We have a matinee action here on ESPN 102.5. The game, Preds and Stars.
Beautiful.
The Nashville Predators, they got to pick it up soon and quickly because their season hangs in the balance.
Clock's ticking.
That's followed by... always a classic, North Carolina and Duke on these very airwaves over on 94.9 Game 2. Number 6, Kentucky, travels to Florida. That pregame starts in 45 minutes at 10:30. And then Southern Miss at Middle Tennessee State, coverage at 4:30. That's also on 94.9 Game 2. And coming up next here on Calvin and Campbell, well, we're going to finally get away from the Tom Brady talk. I think I could talk about it all day long and twice on Sundays, and we did talk about it on Sundays all season long. Nashville SC debuted Nissan Stadium here on 94.9 Game 2 as well. Very cool experience to get to. I was producing that game and to see all the highlights that came out of it, the support, the tailgate. We're going to talk about a little bit of Nashville SC and how they're growing in the city already after one game and the fun from it. That's coming up next here on Calvin and Campbell on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Calvin and Campbell here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, getting away from the Titans talk, moving into the real football realm, the world sport, soccer. If you haven't heard, which I'm sure you have, there's Major League Soccer here in Nashville, and they had their first ever game at Nissan Stadium last week. Nashville SC and Atlanta United, they dropped it 2-1, but nonetheless, the first goal in professional soccer history in this town was scored last Saturday night. And here is the call that you heard on ESPN 94.9 Game 2 from the voice of Nashville Soccer Club, John Freeman.
The free kick set angled to the right of the target, about 40 yards away from the goal that Guzan is protecting. Cross comes in from Mukhtar. It's loose right on top, and there it is! It's Walker Zimmerman! The maiden goal! Made in gold! Zimmerman, instant club immortality, and it is Bedlam on the banks of the Cumberland!
John Freeman, Nashville SC's first ever goal, Walker Zimmerman, Walker Zimmerman makes history. Bedlam on the banks of
Get
the
John
Cumberland.
A shout out.
I heard that. I was producing the broadcast. Mm-hmm. I heard that and I thought, that is one of the best calls I've heard.
That's, no pun intended, that's gold. That is
in gold.
That is actual radio broadcasting gold. John did a hell of a job on that call right there. And to think of that on the spot is pretty impressive, you know.
Do you think he thought of it on the spot? I think John,
we'll have to ask him.
In the post game, John was like, I replayed the call as a highlight and all that, and he said, I've been waiting for that one for 3 years because he's been involved.
Wow.
Him and Wes Bowling have been involved in this process of bringing a team here with different TV and radio broadcasts the whole way. They deserve every bit of what this broadcast will become with Nashville SC. I'm lucky to be on the board for two really great guys. But yeah. I think John, He'd been thinking of Bedlam on the banks of the Cumberland for a little while.
Yeah, that's true. But
he can't say that once they get their new stadium over at the Fairgrounds, because the Fairgrounds, not on the banks of the Cumberland.
It is not. It absolutely is not. But he still had the wherewithal to be able to pull out that line. The preparation came in handy. But that clip alone is such a good clip because you hear the place just go bonkers after that goal. And that's what was really cool about that event, not just because people showed out and that there was a great crowd, but how crazy it was when they witnessed history and you get that human reaction of just excitement and just that raw euphoria that came with that first goal. And you could hear that in that clip, and that's what I really liked about that the most was – and you hear the cannon, I guess, or go off in the background. That is what sports is all about. And, like, obviously, they're not going to be able to do this every game.
No.
And this team might even be bad. But for one night, they hung in there with the favorite to win the Eastern Conference the entire game. Not only did they hang with them, you could make an argument that they should have won the game. I mean, they had 14 shots. Atlanta United had 6. 4 of those 14 were on goal. Only 2 of the 6 shots from Atlanta United was on goal. It just so happened that both of those shots on goal were scored. They weren't saved. Nashville SC didn't have any saves. But Nashville SC played really well. Atlanta had only 55% possession, so Nashville lost the possession battle, but, I mean, not by much. Corner kicks, 5-4 advantage Nashville. Corner kicks are, no pun intended, golden opportunities to score goals. I'm going to accidentally make gold puns this entire season.
Live with it.
Live with it. I'm not even going to apologize anymore. I'm not even going to like even warn it the next time. I'm just going to do it. But golden opportunities for Nashville SC were abundant in that game. They hung in there and looked like they belonged. The Walker Zimmerman goal was huge. Obviously tied the game up in the first goal early. I mean, Atlanta United's first goal was, what, 7-8 minutes into the game?
Yeah,
it was early.
I'm not sure. I don't remember the exact minute, but it was early.
And then the second goal was a phenomenal play. The second goal later in the game by Emerson Heineman was one of the best goals you're going to see in soccer, where he bats it down off his chest before the ball even hits the ground, volleys it into the net. That is one of my favorite plays in soccer. That is an incredible feat of athleticism. And that dude put that ball on a rope. I don't even blame that National League for not saving that goal. Yeah. Because, I mean, they got put it on a laser. That was an absolute laser that found its way into the back of the net.
What do you think about Nashville SC's gold jerseys? I honestly think they're closer to yellow, a very bright yellow.
Yeah.
Yellow is my favorite color, so I feel like this might be a bit of an unpopular opinion. Mm-hmm. I love their jerseys.
Oh, I love them too. We also need to set some parameters on what we consider golden sports jerseys.
They are yellow. Those are yellow jerseys.
What are the New Orleans Saints colors? Black and
gold.
Pittsburgh Steelers, black and
that's good.
They would lobby for that to be gold. Captain Kurt, are the Steelers black and yellow or black and gold?
Black and gold.
What are the New Orleans Saints? The New Orleans Saints are black and
gold.
What is Vanderbilt? Black and gold.
Gold.
Is it they can't both be gold, right?
You know,
am I crazy?
Thinking about it in my head, the Steelers probably are closer to yellow.
I say they're black and yellow.
Like Wiz Khalifa.
Wiz Khalifa even said, he said black and yellow. However, there are a lot of people, I know Captain Kurt's not alone on this, that will die on the hill of that being black and gold. Of that, what I consider yellow, they would consider gold.
See, I think
it's the same color of Nashville SC, though, too.
Nashville SC is totally yellow, I think.
And here's the thing, too, like, the boys in gold sounds better than the boys in yellow. Because in the South, we're not saying the boys in yellow, we're saying the boys in yellow. And that does sound, that's got a better ring to it. Come on, you boys in gold. It's a little bit better of a ring to it. Come on, you boys in yellow. Because that's what it's going to sound like. That's what it's going to be. But I still, like, to me, personally, Nashville SC's yellow. It's blue. Even the Preds, to me.
No, I think the Preds are gold. I'll give the Preds gold. That has more of that, for lack of a better word, richness to it that makes it gold versus the brightness of yellow. I think the Preds they are as close to yellow on the gold spectrum as you can be.
See, like, my thing is the precedent of the Saints being black and gold, and then that gold not being the same as, like, the Steelers is what Nashville SC's and the Preds is what bothers me. I guess, because those are two distinctly different.
You know
colors.
What makes for really We're good radio?
Them the same thing.
You know what makes for really good radio? Talking about colors.
Colors and logo. I mean, this is what's on people's minds right now. This is the hot Tom Brady, Ryan Tannehill, whatever.
You won't find a better show on Saturday mornings at 9:58 a.m. than Calvin and Campbell. We talk about the hard-hitting issues. And don't forget, on these very airwaves, starting at noon, pregame coverage for Nashville Predators at Dallas Stars begins. Puck drop at 1. And coming up next here on Calvin and Campbell, it's that time of the week. My favorite drop on this show, We Say Something with Chris Russo, coming up at the top of the hour at 10 a.m. right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.